Everything about God is redemptive. The Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to have to figure this out yourself, because I'm not making a doctrine out of this, so don't go claiming it's a doctrine. But it's what I believe, so that's important. You work out whatever you like. But because I had this concept of the Holy Spirit and taught so much about the fire and the indignation and the Holy Spirit's going to get you and the Holy Spirit's going to zap you and the Holy Spirit's going to do all that, you get scared of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we get to the place we think we've committed an unpardonable sin. Never mind that the Bible says all manner of sins forgiven. We still don't believe that, because the enemy comes on the big lie through your emotions and tells you through a lying emotion that you committed the unpardonable sin. Do you know that I have had people in Bible college coming to me dead scared because they thought they committed an unpardonable sin? I am with my wife one day in one of our very infrequent times of getting together for lunch, and I'm in town with her, and we're just going for lunch together. I walk up the street. This guy comes flying down through an arcade. He is a mature graduate student in Bible college. Ray, oh, so good to see you. Cass thought, yeah, so it's good to see you, all right. Hi. I got to talk to you. He said, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I said, well, what are you doing in Bible college? That's not the place for people with unpardonable sin. I don't fancy you'd go there if you committed the unpardonable sin. He's nearly off his face. His anxiety levels are so high, I thought the guy's going to have a heart attack. You know why? Because of a stuffed up theology that allowed him, in the middle of a Bible school, to believe that God had zapped him, finished with him, and cast him off. The God, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But of course, I don't believe that, because I believe that my sin separates me from him. So I'm cut off, and then I join up and cut off and join up and so on. Here's the thing. I see something very different now in the Holy Spirit. It'd be good if the light was on. Now, here's what's very, very important. Now, here is God. I move away from him. Now, here's the point that's very important. Every sin, no matter what it is an act of independence against God. The devil wants to tell you that yours is the worst one. You've got the worst sin. You've blown it the worst. You're worse than anybody else. Has he not taught that? Have you not thought your sin is worse than anybody's? Yes. But your sin is not any worse than anybody. It's an act of transgression. It's an act of independence. That's our killer, is when we become independent. And here's what we do. I'm going away from God. Now, when I'm going away from God, here is what I see. You can sort this out for yourself. But here's what I see. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the feminine side of God. I know now the feminists are telling us that the Lord's Prayer should be reading our Mother, which art in heaven. But God is everything, male and female. Adam was male and female. God just came and took the female out of him to make a woman. And you can go back and find that in the Hebrew singular. The fact is, the Holy Spirit is the feminine side of God. And now, instead of being that zapper, the Holy Spirit comes to me and the Holy Spirit draws me. He's the feminine side. He woos, he draws, he cajoles, he ministers to us, he romances us, and he brings us back to the Lord. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring me back to God. Do you see, when you live in condemnation, Condemnation will always take you away from God. But Holy Spirit conviction always brings you to God. That's the big difference. But see, we have kind of preached like the Holy Spirit has really beaten us up. But that beating up is taking us away. He's bringing me back. And do you know what? Repentance is simply a U-turn. It's just a U-turn. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, you're going in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit didn't have to make it bad and make me feel bad. What made me feel bad was the sin. But we said it was the Holy Spirit doing it. So the Holy Spirit was making me feel terrible bad. My sin was making me feel bad. Do you know why? Because sin doesn't suit us. As the people of God, Ephesians 5 makes it clear, sin is not fitting for you as a believer. Sin doesn't fit Christians. Have you found that out? I had no problem before I came to Jesus sinning. My only problem was, please don't catch me. But now I sin, and with my sin comes an accompanying emotion with the result of sin. And it affects me and stops me, because the Bible clearly says in Galatians 6 and Ephesians 5, it clearly says, and this is where people got it wrong and why their theology is so wrong, because in my past theology, they taught us, and I was a prodigy of it and taught it as well, that if you did all these flesh things, like murder, fornication, theft, adultery, lying, and all that stuff, if you did that, you weren't going to heaven. Now, that kind of theology brought about a serious fear and a serious guilt. And it wasn't true, because if that was true, heaven would be empty, and nobody here is going there. The fact is, it's not true. What the Bible does say, it says that they that do these things, big and little, there's no discrimination in the bag. So the liar is the same as the murderer. The greedy person is the same as the fornicator. There's no difference. The fact is, all in the bag, it says they that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God in Romans is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with me going to heaven. It's not about a place, it's about a state. And the problem is, so many believers are living in guilt, they live in fear, and their emotional life is completely twisted and warped and distorted because they believe God's gone, God's left them, they have sinned big time, things are so bad, their emotions are upside down because they believe something wrong. And the truth is, they have disinherited themselves. That's why they felt bad. Sin has cut them out of their inheritance. It has not cut them off from God. It has cut them off from their inheritance. You and I have an inheritance the world knows nothing about. We have righteousness, that feeling of being clean. Peace that passes human understanding. And joy that bubbles up from deep inside, from the wells of salvation. That's our inheritance. Now, do you realize how much we walk out away from our inheritance? You know when people accuse you and say, oh, then you say, oh, sin's okay. It's okay to sin. Do you see, it's not the what we have used is a guilt thing to make people stop sinning. I'll tell you something. You don't need that to happen, because what you do is you disinherit yourself. And the moment you disinherit yourself, in comes all the ugly emotions. And then we go through that whole trauma because we have a theologically wrong concept of the Holy Spirit and who God is. The Holy Spirit comes and he woos me. He draws me. He romances me. He says, I'm here to stop you on your destructive lifestyle, and I'm bringing you back home. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring me back to the Father. Do you see how that is? Now, returning to that in a moment. First of all, you may not like this statement, which I mentioned earlier. You may not like this, but it doesn't matter, because I know you like me. Emotions are not real in themselves. There's a mistake, even in psychology, but I want to tell you, emotions are not real in themselves. Now, if you're a feeler here, you're going to say, rubbish! Don't tell me they're not real. I know they're real. Emotions are perceptors of reality. Emotions are not real. They are a perception of what I believe to be real. And tonight, the purpose of our gathering is looking at emotional health. And I'm doing it from a theological, psychological perspective of pulling together and helping us to see we have learned things both educationally and spiritually that's not right. Now, how are you going to prove whether I'm right or not? You'll prove it in living guilt-free. You see, I don't have to prove a thing. The years speak against the minutes. Next week will determine where you're going to be. Not my message tonight, but how well you can live in your inheritance, how long you can live in your inheritance, and how much you're going to allow the devil to lie to you. And more and more Christians are living by lying emotions. And the devil's getting to Christians by lying emotions. We got to kill them because we believe that our emotions are right. God's got to be sending those emotions. God's got to be doing that. No, he's not. Emotions are not real. They're perceptors of reality. Now, I'll give you a little illustration. I'm driving along the highway, and you'll realize this has happened to me, so other people might be in the same suit. I'm driving along the highway, just kind of minding my own business, and I'm a little bit of a lead foot. And there's cars, you know, there's numbers of cars on up in front of me, but I'm just driving along, and it's fine, and I'm quite good, and my emotions are balanced, and I'm thinking about nice things, and I'm happy, and probably singing some song or whatever, but I'm happy along, and everything's fine. And the next thing, I hear a police siren. Do you know, it's incredible what a siren can do to your emotions. I am this second totally happy, enjoying myself, rejoicing in the Lord, and a siren can change my day. And immediately, the first thing instantly I do is hit my foot in the brake. That gives them a hint. And I look down, and I see the speedometer going back to the right speed. You know it's too late, but you've done it anyway. But you go back because you feel better if you're at the right speed when they catch you. But they've already caught you at the wrong speed. See how quickly you can adjust your own emotions just in a car. And you know, here's me. I don't know about you, but this is me. And right away, my emotions trigger a thought. I immediately have a backflip in my emotions. My stomach's already starting to turn over. Have you ever been caught at all? Are you with me on any of these emotions? You're there with me, oh, I can tell it. Now, it turns over, and now I have this emotional reaction. And right away I start thinking, oh, no, no, no. The pain of the whole thing already. How much is it going to cost me? Followed quickly by another thought, what will my wife say? There you go, you monster. Now, what will my wife say? Oh, boy. I'm going to have to listen to all this. I told you you'd get caught. I told you not to speed. I told you you never look what you're doing. I know. I can hear the whole thing. You have no idea. Do you know that they actually tell us in psychology we can monologue something like 1,200 words a minute? Can you imagine the speed with which things can go through your head? Just in a matter of seconds. You can almost document a story right there in your head. And I have all this stuff flying through my head, and then I think, oh no, there goes my housekeeping for the week. Oh no. I have the emotion of anger comes. I hate the police. They're always behind a billboard or a bush or somewhere. I would rather burn my money than give it to the police department. And I'm getting mad. I have moved through a whole range of emotions and I'm still driving. You see? My whole emotions, how fast they go with you and spin you and cognitively send you wild. And then I'm going like crazy in my head to find some kind of an excuse to tell the police why I was speeding that they'd never heard before. I'm working full on that. I get caught one day speeding, you know. Go back to Mr. Raymond. I get caught one day speeding. And this car was right behind me, you know. So I just put my foot down. I thought, how dare you tailgate me? So I didn't know it was a cop. So I planted my foot to get out of the way. And I had my little dog in the car with me. And my son was with me. And next thing, I just planted my foot. We went in an overtaking line, and I go to the inside line. And he came up alongside me. Oh, it was a cop. And your reason for speeding? I had my window down, and he's standing looking in the window, and the dog jumped from the back to the front and licked him in the face. Oh. I thought, man, I'm gone. This guy's going to go. I said, sir, we're having a picnic, and we came back to get some stuff to take it to our family at the picnic at the beach. And I realized that there was somebody close to my towel. I didn't know it was you, sir. Had I known it was you, I would not have done that. But I didn't know that somebody wasn't in an emergency and they were in a hurry, or they may have been doing some road rage and trying to push me off the road. So I was quickly trying to get out of the way so we wouldn't have a collision. And he just stared at me. And he looked at me and he said, on your way to the picnic and slow down. Oh, hallelujah. You have no idea. My emotions went, woo! One of the few. Now, on this occasion, so I'm driving along. I'm up to that point now. And then the policeman comes up alongside me. I have now got a backflip until the palms of my hands are sweating. And I'm waiting for those fateful words, pull over, driver. Emotions can send you so fast, can they not, into all kinds of things. Physiological affects you, cognitive affects you. Excuse me, it spiritually affects you. Yes? See how emotions can rule your life? The policeman comes up alongside me and I'm just waiting for the finger. I've seen it before. And amazingly, he drove straight past me. And he stopped a car, three cars in front of me. He wasn't after me in the first place. But my emotions told me that he was. Emotions are not real. They're a perception of what I believe to be real. If I don't fix that problem, the base root problem of emotions, you can go on and on about your healing of emotions, but you'll never fix them. Do you see what I'm saying? What you now have to do with your emotions is you need to take your emotions, because I need to understand something. Emotions must never lead. Emotions must never lead. They must only ever follow. I know that it's easier for thinkers to grab that principle. Feelers, please, for you, but thinkers also get controlled by guilt. Therefore, you have to do it cognitively to bring them into line. But feelers, this is vital. You need to deal with them to bring them into line. Emotions must follow them, must never lead. Do you know emotions can become so strong, but you can control your own emotional health? You take responsibility for your emotional health. People do not want to take responsibility. You see what I'm saying at the beginning? I said I'll be tying stuff in here. Yeah? Quickly tying stuff in here. And here's the thing. Do you know emotions, whether you're a thinker or a feeler, because emotions in a thinker go very, very deep. They're much more surface in a feeler, but emotions must never lead. But we have so much of that happening, and that's what affects people's emotional health. Do you know if you deal with your emotions, you can have an emotional lifestyle, heal, whole, and you don't have to suffer the ravishes if you get your belief system right. Emotions come out of a belief system. Here's the thing. You've got to talk. You've got to talk to your emotions like you talk to the dog. Hey, listen. Before I came on a second last trip, my wife was in the car with me and one of her daughters was in the back. We're driving up the road and I couldn't believe what I saw. This young fella, yeah, young kid, he's got a dog on a leash. The dog must have saw a cat or something and took off. This guy is grass boarding on the sidewalk. The dog took off, but he's not letting go. So he's down on his belly and is sending him on the sidewalk over the driveways. And I'm thinking, oh, I said to Kath, I can't even stand it looking out the window. What's on the road? What's sticking out of the grass? This kid could get cut to pieces, but he's not letting the dog go. When he started out, and I first saw him at the top of the hill, he was walking along, and the dog was bouncing with him. He had taken the dog for a walk. But now, the dog's taking him for a walk. Do you know, as believers, we start out in the morning just like that. Our emotions are in check. We've had our quiet time. We've been rejoicing in the Lord. We've played the wonderful music. You're listening to one of my CDs. Everything was absolutely wonderful in the morning. And then somebody upset you at the photocopier. Every one of the lights was red when you went to them. And you were running late. An event took place, and before you knew it, you were completely emotionally imbalanced. And now, we're away, and we're out of control. When you started in the morning, you were in control of your emotions. You were walking your emotions, but now your emotions are taking you for a walk. Do you know, you're with me, yes? Do you know I have to do to my emotions? That's why you heard me talking about, Father, you're welcome in this place. My mind, my will, my emotions. I know where my emotions will take me. I know how quickly they'll take me for a ride. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my emotions. Because they'll take me for a ride. They'll take me for a walk. They'll take me for a run. Has yours not done that for you? Have they not done that? You know what I have to do? I have to do this myself. These are little practical things, but I have to do it to myself if I want to walk in emotional health. And what I have to do, because emotions are good, but here's the thing. They're a perception of reality. And what I have to do, I have to say to my emotions, sit! Just the way you talk to the dog. Sit. Wait. Shut up. You are not dictating the day. You are not dictating the color of my world. Now, you can't not have emotions. You can't be a vacuum on two legs. You're going to fill up with some kind of emotions, and you're either going to fill up with emotions from heaven, or you fill up with emotions from hell. But you'll fill up with some sort of emotions. Hey, listen. The Bible says there's joy and peace in believing. Do you feel joy? Yes. Do you feel peace? Of course you do. So you see, you're going to fill up with emotion from somewhere, but did you notice? It was the dog on the leash thing. There is joy and peace in believing. One of the mistakes that we do as counselors or psychologists is we don't go to the root of them, so we spend a lot of time working through emotions. But the fact is, emotions always come from a belief system. They are a perception of what I believe to be real, and it's with the heart, the seat of the emotions, that man believes. Therefore, I can talk as much as I want about emotional health, but I have to deal with the reason why I don't have emotional health. So people who are in guilt and fear have got to go back to the beginning, because one of the things that's so vital is that you and I are controlled by our emotions, and the reason that we are is because our emotions are built, our belief system is built in our emotions, and hence we're controlled, and that's how easy we are controlled. Does that make sense to you? Do you see that? Absolutely. Now, the thing is, we are always going to be controlled, and I have to do that. Your Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my emotions. My emotions, for thinkers, emotions are very deep, so they trigger them much faster cognitively. So they will respond to life more cognitively, which allows them to have a negative approach to life. But then the feelers, what they do is they approach life much more from off the sleeve, off the cuff, responsively to the environment, because they connect with the environment. Therefore, if it's a sunny day, I'm happy. Do you know a feeler person, even some others other than a feeler, and doers too, but a feeler person can go into the hairdressers and have their hair done, a massage on their head, and come out feeling a whole lot better. No, never mind. I talked to one young woman. I couldn't believe it. My daughter, one of my daughters, well, both of those, two daughters that actually do hairdressing, but one of them is this high-class one. She does all the wedding stuff and all these upstyles and all the different high-class stuff. And you know something? She tells us about some of these people. One young woman just was talking to me, and she had gone in and she had, I was looking at her hair. I said, "You, well, you've had your hair done?" "Well, yeah." And it was somewhere else. She had come to the. She had come from another city, and so she was just there with us while we were talking. And so I comment, because I noticed them do the different hairstyles. She said, "Yeah, I did. Feels so good." I said, "How much is something that cost you?" She said, $150. I'm in the wrong job. I'm just in the wrong job. My emotions was rocked right there. I went from happy to sad. No! Yes. Because she felt good about her hair, she could pay $150 to feel good. We've talked quite a bit yesterday, and we won't go into tonight, about emotional balance. Where people, as long as you get the emotions balanced and you can get pain away from your emotions, it's fine. That's all I want from life. It's not the peace of God, but it's emotional balance. Now, having said that, because I'm not going to keep you all night, we'll have a little say at this, I think, and then maybe we should have a cup of tea together. Do you like that? Yeah. Oh, good on you. I'm going to finish with this. I'll be on again tomorrow night. You'll suffer more. No, Saturday night. Oh, yeah, amen. I got a night off. Oh, I could have a night off. That's a miracle. Okay. How many of you have sinned? Well, you, no wonder we have so much trouble counseling Christians. Now, We have all sinned. You would agree with me. You would agree with me that when you sinned, you had an accompanying emotion that made you feel bad. But you blamed it on God, didn't you? It was the Holy Spirit making you feel that bad. What we did is we cut ourselves off from our inheritance, and the moment your peace goes, you feel bad. You have an accompanying emotion that makes you feel bad. Do you agree with that? Absolutely, because if you don't, maybe you're enjoying your sin, and we might need to have a salvation message. Now, but the thing that's important in this is, do you see, and my next question will bring this up, how many times have you asked God to forgive you when you've sinned? Once, twice, four times? Do you know what I've done in the past? I've done this. I've gone for about 3 days. Oh, you know, because if you can really impress God by your actions, and I'd be really into it. Oh, God. You know how if you agonize, that real travailing, and that's what you thought you were doing. But you didn't know it wasn't travailing at all. It was a deep emotional response, trying to convince God through your emotions. Oh, God, what you're actually saying is, I feel so bad, help me with my feelings. You know what? There's a lot more problems in my emotional response in the way I relate to God than there was in the sin I committed. Because if I hadn't had that bad response, I might still have been on doing it. But what I did is I disinherited myself. I hate that because as a believer I have an inheritance. I should be enjoying it, but I misinterpret it through a bad theology. And now I'm working on my emotions, and so much, do you see what I'm saying? There's so much of it as a response emotionally. It's not spiritual. But I got to get back. What am I trying to get back to? Tell me, how many times have you tried to get back because it's really hurt God? Rather than you try to get back because you want to back your peace. You couldn't handle the emotional distance. Do you know that's a lot of the times? That's why Paul says, I'll take this. That's why Paul says it's godly sorrow, not guilt. Guilt doesn't bring repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance. It's where, you know, the thing is, Esau never found repentance even though he cried. Why? How many people have the devil not beaten up by that verse? Absolutely. But here's the thing. Esau didn't, because Esau's response was purely emotional. He was sorry because of what he lost. And because he was sorry for what he lost, he kept repenting through emotions, but not by the Spirit of God. The second reason is he wouldn't admit he was wrong. He just admitted his bad feeling. He just admitted his emotional feeling, but he didn't admit he was wrong. You must take ownership. If you don't own something, you'll never disown it. You have to have truth before you can be free. Esau would never have truth, and that's why he would never find freedom. He blamed his brothers, he blamed brother, he blamed his father, he blamed everybody but himself. He wouldn't have truth. You'll never find freedom if you don't have truth. That's why emotions must be tied to truth, to my belief system of truth, and not just an emotional response. You know what? I did that. Oh, God. Oh, God. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And then I even said this. Oh, God, I'm so sorry I let you down. I've let you down. Have you ever thought you've let God down? Yes. But how can you let God down? You never propped him up in the first place. What an obnoxiously self-righteous statement, as though I was propping omnipotence up. I've let you down. You can't let God down. You didn't catch him by surprise and suddenly, I slipped off my throne. Can you imagine that God would be affected like that? Of course not. The whole thing's a big emotional thing. Getting back to what I've lost, and we're not much better than Esau. I got to have truth. And that's why, let me tell you, If you confess your sin the second time, you're confessing it to the enemy. If you confess your sin the second time, you confess it in unbelief. Because if God didn't hear you the first time, 1,000 times is not going to change his mind. We have walked in unbelief. Do you know why we have asked God to forgive us? Because when you sinned, please bring this connection together as we get ready for our cuppa. When you sinned, you had an accompanying emotion to say you had sinned. And the reason we keep asking for forgiveness is because we're looking for an accompanying emotion to say we're forgiven. That's what we're looking for, yes? But here's the thing. God will never validate his presence in your emotions. And that's why this fix that we try to do spiritually is never right. Because God will not validate his presence in your emotions. I may have an emotional response to his spirit. I will have an emotional response to the move of God. But we have misinterpreted that and said that's what was God. I remember first hearing about Pentecost. Oh my. We were such strong Presbyterians. Very modernistic. But all my uncles were elders in the Presbyterian church. Whether you were saved or not at the time didn't matter. You were an elder. Some of them were actually godly men, actually, but some, anyhow, that's another thing. But do you know, when I first got to Pentecost, this woman, I never forget her, this woman was sitting in the meeting I was introduced into, and this woman was in the meeting, and she had a very big, you know, turkey drop here, you know. And it was just, her chin was hanging way down like this. And it wobbled like a turkey. Everybody's going like this. And, yeah, keep your scarf up. Now, and you know what? She started being moved on by the Spirit. And when she was moved on by the Spirit and she was speaking, then I understood she was speaking in tongues. And I sat there looking at this woman, and this, and I said, what is that? You know what people said? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. No wonder people thought Pentecostals were cuckoos. The wobbling of the Adam's apple was not the Holy Spirit at all. It was her emotional response to the Holy Spirit. She just had a physical manifestation. Have you seen a lot of ridiculous manifestations and then we have called that the Holy Spirit? See, it's not. And remember this. We've got to keep the sanity about how we do this. There is no way God will validate his presence through your emotions. Otherwise, when you feel good, God will be there. And if you didn't feel good, he'd be 100 miles away. But you will never find him in your emotions. There's the tragedy of unhealthy emotions. God doesn't validate himself in your emotions. 1 John 1:9 makes this very clear. I promise you, this is the wind-up scripture. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, you know, we do too much asking for forgiveness and we ask for cleansing. How many people here keep asking for cleansing and asking for cleansing? Do you know? Good on you, brother. Father, we're so glad he's a Pentecost. Do you know? Yes, sir. Do you know what? People do, they go into all this asking for cleansing and asking for forgiveness. Do you know, I'm Irish and I love a bargain. 1 John 1:9 is a bargain. You get 2 for the price of 1. It's 2 for the price of 1. The Bible says if you confess your sin, that's all you have to do. then he forgives and cleanses. Two for the price of one. Amen. I don't need to go groveling. I don't need to do any of that. I live, as a believer, I live in the environment of the blood of Jesus. I live in the environment of the forgiveness of the Lord. I live in that kind of environment. All I have to do is to reunite myself with him in the sense that I've cut off because of the separation of the of my inheritance. All I have to do is say what Esau would not say, and I say, Father, I got it wrong. You were right. I'm wrong. I have truth about where I'm at, and automatically the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Do you see how good that is? Now, do I feel better? No. I may, but I may not. There's the tragedy. Oh, I've got to go back and do the formula again. Oh, God, and I'm away again. No, no, that's it. It's over. It doesn't matter how you feel, it's over. But then here's something wonderful, because now there's joy and peace in believing. The expression of faith is thanksgiving. So now I walk off not waiting for God to validate his presence, my emotion, but to validate his presence through his word. He validates his presence through his word, and as I go rejoicing, there's joy and peace in believing. Oh, if only I had joy and peace, I'd really believe in it. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, if I could just experience God, I'd believe. But see, it isn't like that. It's the dog thing. Get in line. Get it right. It has to be following me. So now, as I believe in what God says, it's always the truth that makes me free, not the emotions. And now, and remember, we quote a lot, we quote this a lot. The truth shall set you free. The actual true original is that the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. The truth is a creative force. It's not a quick fix. And as I walk, and that's why people don't like it, because they don't always instantly feel the fix. But it says the truth will make you free. It's a creative. As I walk in faith, the truth creatively brings about joy and peace, because there's joy and peace in believing. And my joy comes back, my peace comes back, and my emotions are there, wonderful, happy, rejoicing and praising the Lord. The peace is back, the joy is back, the feeling of cleanliness is back. And it has nothing to do with the rights and wrongs of my emotion. It has to do with the truth of the Word of God. Do you see that? Your emotional health depends totally on what you